Danish solvogn is an electromechanical instrument. The visual part of the piece is inspired by both Danish Bronze Age, the Sun Chariot, which is a Danish national treasure, and quantum computing, more specifically the cryo chambers. The physical piece, how it looks, the visualization of it, it's a cube 2 by 2 by 2 meters. This form consists of a frame, and then you have four gongs hanging on each of the four sides of the piece. They are flat, big aluminium plates, and they are activated by mechanical mallets that hits it. And these four gongs that hangs on the four sides of this piece are there as big pulsating sundials, so light can reflect off on it and off it. They obscure the inner core, so you can only see the inner core from certain positions. And the inner core, that's 12 horizontal plates hanging down, each with Bronze Age carvings into them and speakers glued to them. And the inner core, these 12 plates hanging down, that's identical to what you would use for the cryo chambers in a quantum computer. On top of this cube, that's where the computer is, and that's also where the mallets, the mechanical parts, comes out from. All the energy comes from that point. This instrument is very much centered not about concerts, but more in a sort of an exhibition, sort of where the listener and the viewer can come closer to it physically, walk closer to it. There's no human playing. There's no private boundaries that you're overstepping. So it somewhat like wants you to explore it visually and moving around in the room to hear it and see it. And it sets the listener and the viewer in a very different position than in a concert setting. The expectations are really different. And that's something that really inspires me producing this piece. So this piece is really not made for concert. No, this one is made for installation, for exhibition. Right now I'm sitting in the atelier, in the studio, and I can control the mallets from here. I can also control the small speakers. Grab these. I'm at a residency here in Sound Art Lab in Struer. For the past 2 weeks, we have been building. We being me and Mads Thompson, my co-designer and technician. We've been producing this piece here. So this is constructing it, building it, refining it for the first time. It's a quite a physical, big piece. So it also demands somewhat big room to be able to produce it. And then I can also control the gongs. So this is the speakers playing, and now the gongs will come in. This is just an exploration. This is not the composition for the piece in any way. I'm just right now exploring what kinds of sonic worlds can I unfold here. So it's in a very, very early stage, just finding out what kind of sounds can it produce, this instrument. What do I want to explore further? 3 days ago was the first time we heard it. So this is a newly born instrument. It sonically still smells of baby. And that's the really, really amazing, being able to listen to this instrument that I've been working on for the past 3 years for the first time. You have this all these imaginations of how this instrument is going to turn out and what kind of sounds and what kind of compositions you would like to produce for it. And then you see it and hear it for the first time, and then you suddenly don't change your mind. You just find new quirks or new directions you want to explore. So I've had all these thoughts about how I wanted to compose for it. And right now I'm just really simply exploring it. This piece consists mainly of aluminium, almost all of the parts except for the electronics. We tried the other day to count how many parts it consisted of, and it's on the upper side of 2,000 parts that we have put together. Everything has this metallic aluminium resonance, shimmer sound. It used until very recently to be a very expensive material. In the 1800s, it was for quite some time more expensive than gold. So it's only in the recent 100 years or so that it has become this everyday metal that most of our stuff is made of. So that movement from being Napoleon having gold cutlery for the rich, and then he had aluminium cutlery for the kings and queens and so on that came visiting. So the movement from this really expensive material to an everyday material. The idea for this piece came about in 2020, during the first and second lockdown of the COVID lockdown, the pandemic. And there's one story from that time that really rang with me. That was like these factories in Tokyo that couldn't produce their Toyotas because they were missing one component from China. They were missing the window viber for the windows. And I just found it so bizarre that because this one object was missing, the trading just halted totally. And that's the same time period where I also got really fascinated with Bronze Age as a period, time period in general. And this time period that so much was centered around one material in such to such an extent that we have named the time period after that material being bronze. And bronze containing copper and tin, and copper coming from Cyprus, and tin coming either from Afghanistan or England, and how these materials all the way from Northern Africa and Southern Europe and Eurasia coming up to the north of Europe to Denmark 3,500 years ago, this trading that just at a certain point stopped to such an extent that the Iron Age came about. And this for very simple reasons that the time period of bronze stopping because bronze wasn't delivered anymore. That felt very reminiscent, very like something I could see myself in during COVID. And to be honest, now 5 years later, I still feel like I have this experience of we are going out of our Bronze Age into an Iron Age. At the same time as I was starting to dive into Bronze Age in my research, I suddenly like started seeing these quantum computers for the first time, the cryo chambers of quantum computers. And the object, not the scientific part, but the object of the cryo chamber, just, it was so hard for me to believe. And I couldn't believe that this was an actually functioning computer. It looks like something from the Victorian age or something. It looks like a clock mechanism. So gold-plated copper discs and a lot of them like placed on top of each other with spaces in between and all these cables going down. And there's just something about the object that felt really connected to my experience of seeing treasures from the Bronze Age. And to be honest, there was also just something in me that really wanted one of these computers. I really wanted to own one of these computers. It was such an object. So this connection between the two objects visually, in my opinion, gold-plated discs has been like the connection. Why this piece? What is the stepping stone for my homage to the Sun Chariot and my wish to to produce my own quantum computer. But just to be very clear, this is not a quantum computer. There's no quantum physics involved with creating. This is a reproduction of something that looks like a cryo chamber of a quantum computer. Referring to these two objects is sort of a machine that points backwards in time and history. It's in between both modern technology, modern computing, and of course way newer than the original Sun Chariot. So it's in this you could say a superposition to make a quantum reference. And that's something I'm really interested in exploring, these objects that are somewhat tough to place in time, technologies, tools that are very reminiscent of human interaction, but it's really tough to place where they belong. So right now, we are standing inside the piece, more or less. We are standing up close to the inner core of the piece. And we have these quite thick aluminium plates in front of us. And there's small horses on some of the plates and wires going down. And the wires are going down through the piece down to the weights in the bottom. So it's this combination of creatures, horses and boats and birds and wires and mechanical industrial objects. So right now, I'm here with a small aluminium stick, and I'm hitting parts of the piece. And that's not part of the piece. That's just in the process I'm in right now, exploring it, how it functions, what kind of notes, tones, colors does it have at this point, and what can I activate from the computer afterwards. So this is just a research part, hitting the piece. So this is the sound of some of the aluminium sticks sticking out. It's sort of the sun rays coming out of the inner core. And the sound reminds me of being at a factory or something and seeing these industrial objects and hitting them. And they will produce something very similar because they are very similar. But there's this very beautiful sound to them. A lot of really complex overtones, but you can also find a very clear note in the bottom, pitch in the bottom. If we try another one here. It's way smaller, this one, but it has a deeper note. Hitting this one, I can hear all the other plates vibrating with it. And now I'm just going to hit one of the big gongs with my little aluminium stick. There's a lot of really static notes in it, and they're really tough to bring out with a machine mallet. It also has some of the qualities of a thunder sheet. It's a totally flat gong. It's a plate gong, so it's very wobbly. And when it's hit by a mallet, it will start to move around physically. Everything is computer driven, so the composition is in that sense very digital. The sounds that are being produced from the horizontal speaker plates in the middle, they are very much able to produce any sound. The mechanism in the piece is created to sort of be able to create sonic illusions, so in the sense of reversing mallet hits on the gongs, create artificial delays or echoes or reverberation. Very, very quiet, so you would be in doubt whether you heard it or not. It would be like almost at the noise floor. So a bit like when you hear, for example, a classical piece of strings and you I doubt whether there's a choir or not. It's in the sound. And right now, at this point in the compositional phase, I'm not sure what direction. I've gone in a very different directions right now because it's a very free process. I'm not sure what I'm describing with this instrument, but I really want it to exist. I really want to be in a world where this kind of machine exists. There's some sort of curiosity in it, and that's very much what the piece is also about. It's a celebration of human curiosity through time in extreme ways, in the sense of the furthest back in Danish history, at least, and into the near future, maybe near future. I do hope for people, for a new generation or for whomever, to want to build something, create wild objects, functional or non-functional. And also, this piece, creating this, has been a way bigger apple than I've ever worked with before. For both me and my co-designer and technician, Mads Thompson, we have both been worn out by this piece. None of us are engineers in any way, so this also has like an operatic size for us, producing something that is way beyond your capabilities at the point where you're creating it. It's also something that's just really wild and really tiresome, but also really fun. It goes from like, I hope people like it, to just like trying to make it. You start to stop thinking about like how people find it, because it's just such a challenging project that I really don't care what people think about it at this point anymore, because I've put so many hundreds of hours into designing and caring for this object. So just seeing it move and breathe, that's great. That's really great.
Nimmst du mich hin, kann ich dem Alltag entfliehen. Hier auf den Bergen, wie frei kann ich atmen. Selig ist hier nur mein Herz. Schön ist die Welt, wenn das Glück dir ein Märchen erzählt. Liebe erblüht und singt ewig ihr zärtliches Lied. Schön ist die Welt, wenn ein Schimmer von Glück sie erhält. Schön ist die Welt, wenn das Glück dir ein Märchen erzählt. Immer lustig und immer geradeaus, so ist recht, so ist recht. Wo die Fröhlichkeit wohnt, bin ich ganz zu Haus. Ach, das Leben, es ist ja so schön. Hab ich recht, hab ich recht. Man muss nur seine Schönheit verstehen. Sehnsucht, wo ziehst du mich hin? Lass mich dem Alltag entfliehen. Immer der Sonne entgegen, entgegen. Selig ist hier nur mein Herz. Schön ist die Welt, wenn das Glück dir ein Märchen Liebe erblüht und singt ewig ihr zärtliches Lied. Schön ist die Welt, wenn ein Schimmer von Glück sie erhält. Schön ist die Welt, wenn das Glück dir ein Märchen
thank you.
Bahn abgefahren, weggetreten, abgetreten, drauf sein, heiser.
Yeah. Bij de toekenning van de 17e Raad Antrofé aan Jean-Pierre Rary. Dat was zijn laatste onderwerp. 17 zingevers. De onsterfelijken. Eerst Simon Vinkenoog, Louis T.H. Leeman, Willem de Ridder en Def P. Ik als 16e trofeehouder geef nu mijn opvolger aan Jean-Pierre Rary. Vijf vrouwen wordt nu geen vrouw genoemd. Nieterink, Ozon, De Waard, Sanja ontbranden in toren. Niet te vergeten de allerbelangrijkste, de moeder van Ruigoort, Yvonne van Doorn. Ben ik. Het vrije woord. Naast Hans Verhagen en Laurens van Krevelen en Eddie Wood, met Ara Cohen en Jordan Sinovic, het vrije woord, de hooghouders, zeer vooruitstrevend, back to the roots. Joost Omen en Spinvis komen erbij. Dat zijn 19 trofeehouders op een rij. De 20e ga ik nu aan u voor introduceren. Nou ja, dat is surprise, surprise, Hedy Dacona. En ik, pardon, ik mag zelfs de trofee overhandigen namens Ruigoort en namens Hans Plom en namens iedereen hier.
Nou, jullie begrijpen allemaal wel waarom Hedy hem krijgt, hè? Thank you.
The future tense. We already been through this. Why you made me repeat it? We've been fucking since October when we are sober. First thing I told you was I didn't need no shoulder to lean on.
Thank you. besides the liberty to decide.
Les plus incroyables légendes fournissent les preuves de leur réalité. Quand on entre dans ce pays et qu'on voit des dieux au sommet des montagnes, des dieux avec un bras écourté du côté gauche et un vide du côté droit, et que se baissant on entend monter à ses pieds le fracas d'une cascade, et par-dessus la cascade, le vent.